Test. Hello, everybody. Okay, it's time for us to start. Well, thank you very much for coming to the last session of the first day. I know it's been a long and very exciting day. My name is Mark Soester, and I'm the Managing Director of IPMO.
My name is Ryan Darby. I'm the National PMO Manager of IPMO.
IPMO is an organization that fully concentrates on the deployment of enterprise projects and portfolio management solutions in Australia and in New Zealand. And today we have the pleasure of introducing to you a real-life customer solution on an issue I believe that that a lot of users have within Project Server. Who uses Project Server here, by the way? I was hoping. I see a lot of hands. Now, originally, we had planned that our customer, which is Transpower, and Christian Carter from Transpower is here with us today. But unfortunately, he had to cancel short term. So we had to send a video message. We had to send someone with a video there, and we'll see whether we can get that working all the way to New Zealand. Christian, are you there?
G'day everyone, my name is Christian Carter. I'm the Project Support and Services Group Manager for Transpower New Zealand. Apologies for not being with you today. I would have liked to have been there in person, but sadly our work at the moment is pretty busy and I've been unable to take the time away. But I'm sure that you'll enjoy the presentation that Mark and the guys at IPMO have got for you. As a country, most of you will be familiar with the dramatic scenery of New Zealand that's been used as the backdrop for a lot of Peter Jackson movies such as The Lord of the Rings. It's a beautiful and rugged landscape stretching from the beech forests in the lower South Island all the way up to the black volcanic beaches of the North Island. What few people know is that 77% of New Zealand's electricity is generated through renewable sources such as hydroelectricity and geothermal production. We are one of the largest hydroelectric scheme producers in the world. Compare 77% of our electricity being generated by those schemes to the US, which is currently sat at about 10%, and the UK, which is about 6% of their electricity generation. The majority of our electricity is actually generated down in the South Island, where we have the majority of our hydroelectric schemes, and the 20% of our electricity is consumed actually out of Auckland, which is our largest city based right at the top of the North Island. So we have to manage a very long and lean transmission high voltage network from all the way down from the very bottom all the way up to the very top of our country. As the sole owner and maintainer, operator and builder of New Zealand's high voltage transmission network, we are responsible for maintaining 17,000 kilometres of transmission line, about 41,000 individual transmission towers, which span across about 45,000 individual properties up and down the country, as well as about 170 substations. So this is a significant asset base for us to maintain as an organisation. A lot of our work gets rolled over into the new financial years due to the fact that we can't complete the work within the current financial years. And we're looking in the region of $5 million to $15 million year on year across a capital plan of about $200 million. Based on the fact that a lot of our jobs are in the region of $50,000, this can actually be a quite considerable amount of work being moved over into future years. Our main issue has been around the visibility of the workload and being able to proactively address issues that occur, such as resource shortfalls or procurement issues. And this is where the work that we've gone into with IPMO has added significant benefit back to the business. We get a greater clarity of our complete capital portfolio, from our major programs of work valued in the region of about $500 million, all the way through to our minor maintenance projects and jobs, which can be in the region of $50,000. That's it from me. I hope you enjoy the presentation from Mark and his team, and hopefully maybe next year I can come and join you over in the States. Goodbye.
Thanks, Christian. Well, I hope you're going to enjoy the presentation. Who was at the keynote this morning? Awesome. Now, Microsoft believes that cloud is the next most important thing. We heard data centers and we heard how redundancies and all of these wonderful things, but let's get one thing straight. Nothing works without electricity. No electricity, no cloud, no computers, no phones. And that's why this is actually a very high profile project, because as Christian quite rightly said, they're doing quite a lot of things. First of all, They're responsible for the transmission of the electricity for the entire country. It's the sole owner, and I think that's a very big responsibility. At the same time, they're working with lots of external providers, with service providers, to bring that electricity to the house and to businesses. And their main focus is to ensure that electricity flows 24/7. Now, who works in the utility sector? Who works at electricity spaces? You know how hard that is. And you know how much annoyance there is when electricity suddenly doesn't work anymore. Yeah, look, Middle Earth or New Zealand needs to actually power more than just two towers. As Christian said, what they actually need to do is they need to provide power and need to maintain 17,000 kilometers worth of high voltage lines, almost 180 substations, and over 1,000 transformers. And by the way, not those transformers, we're talking about those transformers here. So what exactly does that mean to TransPower? Well, infrastructure needs to be maintained, and these are heavy load infrastructure items. External service providers need to be found, and they need to maintain that information, of course, as well, and that work needs to be coordinated, which can be very challenging considering that you, once again, have to service an entire country. And that kind of data needs to be collected in some form. Well, really, what kind of information are we talking about? We know that transmission lines are major projects. All of these electricity factories and all of these lines, that's major projects, programs of works, and TransPower is very rigid when it comes to those kinds of work. But what about the maintenance of those kinds of infrastructure? We're talking about things like painting the electricity pole. So really, lots and lots of minor projects, small pieces of work. And the reason why we're here today is we want to introduce to you a solution that allows TransPower to manage over 4,000 minor projects a year within Project Server. So how are these minor projects actually managed in the past is the big question. When we look at the different roles and the different providers, we're looking at the external service providers, and we're just going to refer to them as service providers. We are looking at TransPower project managers. These are internal project managers. And we're looking at the PMO, the Project Management Office of TransPower. So these service providers are generally blue-collar type people that go out into the field, that are engineers, that are electricians, that their main focus is not project management. I know that's hard to believe for some of us, but they're actually out there doing the work. So the administrative overhead is a burden to them. So what they did is they literally filled in an Excel spreadsheet and sent that via an email. The project manager then had to check that type of work and had to add additional information, additional costs, and additional progress information. That internal project manager then sent, of course, that information to the PMO. Well, the PMO just doesn't have to deal with only one particular project manager. They have to deal with a multitude of project managers and received lots and lots and lots of Excel spreadsheets that they had to manually consolidate. Does that sound familiar? I can see some nodding. That's good. Apart from that manual consolidation, it also meant that it takes quite a long time until that information is received and can be consumed and the business can react on that. So the main challenges of those areas was of course, that apart from that Excel spreadsheet, and some project managers actually determined that they get the information via a telephone call or via an email, and they're then manually consolidated or entered that information in an Excel spreadsheet. So quite often, the service provider had to deal with different types of project managers and therefore also different types of entering that information. Plus, they have to maintain that information in their own systems, of course, manually. The project manager, on the other hand, has to deal with lots and lots of different providers and lots of minor projects. So we literally talk about a many-to-many relationship here. Apart from the manual consolidation, I think the project manager wasn't called project manager, but project administrator. It was just a very, very time-consuming part. And, of course, as we already saw earlier, the administration of managing 4,000 projects with different service providers on a manual basis is actually quite time-consuming. So we are talking about generally cumbersome and time-consuming. The big question was, how can we work smarter and not harder? And ultimately, TransPower decided to look at a solution that provides that following type of information. It needs to be consistent. You need to be able to rely on it. It needs to be almost immediate. It needs to ensure that you don't require a lot of training for external service providers to maintain that type of information. So all of the, I guess, all of the areas that, you know, that we and especially larger organizations look into as well. So one project portfolio management solution that rules them all. TransPower has been using Project Server for quite a while, and they're actually quite mature in that. They've grown into that, and Brian will show you that in a second. Major projects, programs of works, integration with their financial system is actually for them second nature, and that's great. The problem with such a solution is, well, one just don't just simply give access to Project Server. Why is that? Well, when we look at that, Project Server enforces consistency. It ensures that we follow one line, we automate process, one set of truth. But that requires governance, and it requires experience, and it requires training. On the other hand, we are dealing with real-world people, as I mentioned already, blue-collar people, where project management really is only an administrative overhead. So when we're looking at many levels of maturity in the project management world, that actually means something. Low maturity versus high maturity. So how were we able to do that is the big question. And for us, of course, the question was, can actually Project Server fix that problem? So we looked at Project Server, and we looked at all of these requirements that we've just seen earlier. And fair enough, you know, repeatable, consistent, accessible, less manual effort, yep, that is all things that can be done in Project Server. Intuitive, everyone has it, even though we would love that. That's not necessarily the case, of course. And we also looked at, well, how did you do that in the past? And as we've seen, they actually filled in an Excel spreadsheet. So what we've done is we've combined Project Server with an Excel spreadsheet capability that then allows you to manage minor projects within Project Server, and that's the solution we're about to show you. The main focus of this minor project, and I just want to outline that again. What do we want to resolve here? We want to make sure that a final system, a financial system, is fed with forecast data so that TransPower can manage up to $500 million worth of money, of dollars. That's a lot of money. And if you don't do that right, then there's a serious problem with that. We want to ensure that the service provider and the project manager can actually collaborate in a consistent manner. And we want to make sure that TransPower has the ability to actually manage minor projects in one system. But above everything, the data collection is one thing. We want to make sure to reduce or ideally eliminate the ability to double handle data. Since we collect that data, we now have the ability to create and automate reports, and therefore TransPower has the ability to gain has great visibility when it comes to their minor projects. So, and on top of that, they wanted to be able to ensure that there is one process of change requests. Look, these minor projects, they are little things, and usually they had a phone call or an email, but then there was a backwards and forwards. They wanted to make sure that they have a change request mechanism that they can manage those change requests between the project manager and that service provider. Now, Ryan is going to talk about the maturity ladder that TransPower had to go through in order to achieve that. Ryan, over to you.
Thanks, Mark. Now, for a minor project to exist, you have to build something to maintain. So you need the major project. So what I'm going to take you through is the journey TransPower went through to build Project Server, which is called Tipu, and we'll come to that, for the major projects. So they've had it for a while. They started back in 2009 with Project Server 2007. They started enhancing the functionality. And people saw this, and they liked it. So they all wanted in. So we ended up with more users getting involved, more departments coming on. It got bigger and bigger, and they thought, well, we better upgrade this thing because it's starting to get a bit serious. So they sent a representative along to the Phoenix conference 2 years ago. And this lady went off to try to get hold of Mark. And the way she found out about him was by going talking to the people at TPG. RPMO and TPG are partners, so have a look at their booth. They're just really good. And they pointed her at Mark. And when you talk to her, the story is she'd spent quite a bit of time stalking him through the conference, eventually found him. And that led to the project server upgrade happening. This led to Tipu. Now, what's this Tipu thing? You would have seen this word a bit. So let's have a bit of a quiz here. Who thinks Tipu is another word for teepee? Hands, no?
Okay.
Okay. Who thinks Tipu is a new brand of tissue? Okay, we got one. Okay, this one's gullible. Okay. Now, you've seen a bit of an elfish Middle Earth theme. Who thinks Tipu is Gesundheit in elfish? Yeah, good couple of nerds here. I like you guys. Okay. Now, the predictable one. Who thinks it's the name of the PPM solution, the Transpower?
No one.
No, you're all wrong. It's actually E. It means growing in the Maori language. Maori is the native language of New Zealand. And Tipu means to enhance and to grow. So there, they were growing and enhancing project management, and the system supported that within the company. So what we've had is Tipu being created, and that led to minor projects, which went live in October last year, so 2013. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly show you the Tipu system. This is project server for the major projects. Mark later on will show you the minor projects. Now the point of this is it's back to the one ring to bind them all. They're all projects. They're all bound together by project server. So before we understand the minor projects, let's have a look at the major projects.
It's all right. I already had it. Yep.
Okay, so this is Tipu. What we're going to do is, to make sure this thing doesn't fall over, I'm going to go to one I prepared earlier. What we're looking at is the project site of a program. This program is called the NAGA program, which means the North Island Grid Upgrade Program. Basically, they upgraded the towers, all the assets in the northern half of New Zealand. The programs have their own project site, so there's a specific project site for the programs. In here, the first thing you see is a summary of what's going on in the program. So project server data, financial system data, and the individual projects, including trend information. We have an RPMO-developed snapshotting tool in there that gives us the trending. So the transmission lines project is the one we're going to look at. And this is their site. That should be their site. So we'll go to it the long way then. Okay, now the site looks very similar. The reason is it is a different color. There is some site functionality changes. It's very similar because people move between project managers manage programs, program managers manage projects. Over here, they have change requests using an InfoPath form. They have images that they can insert into reports. They have report commentary that is a list item, not in the PDPs, because they need version history of that. So what we're going to do is just have a quick look at the customer report. And this is, they have two reports. They have a detailed internal status report that is kind of large, so we won't show that. It has interesting things like construction progress photos in it. This one looks a bit more sexy. It is used to hand out to customers, both internal and external, that they have. Okay. Just change it over.
Yep. Which one is it?
Six.
And
Okay, so now that you have seen how the system, briefly, for the major projects, you need to be able to maintain them. So Mark's going to take you through the minor projects.
Yeah, and I think, I guess most of you have managed major projects to a certain degree. Now, the minor project component within Project Server essentially contains portals. It contains three different portals based on the user: the PMO portal, the service provider portal, and the project manager portal. Now, the portal purpose, and I wasn't able to say it three times, if you can do that, that's cool. portal purpose, portal purpose, portal purpose. I practice all night. The administration portal allows you actually to create the service provider and the project management portal. Plus, it allows you to create the actual minor project itself. It has a whole lot of functionality that Ryan's going to show you. It actually allows you to maintain an Excel template with a user interface that if you need to change that Excel template, you can change that template, and the system will automatically pick up that change and save that in a minor project database without us needing to develop something. It's a very nice and simple user interface. And of course, because we're talking about financial data, we have to ensure that we have periodic closing. So within a month, a service provider gets three weeks of access to the information, then we close that, and then the internal project manager gains access to that. Well, the service provider can capture minor projects in an Excel spreadsheet and can create change requests. Nice and simple, nothing overwhelming, no training required. And the project manager, of course, with his portal, can see the information of the service provider, plus can add the additional information, and now they can go crazy with running reports and not maintaining those type of reports. And, of course, they can approve the change requests of the service provider. Okay, let's have a quick look. So how does that work? The PMO via the administration portal creates the service provider portal with that Excel spreadsheet. The Excel spreadsheet, as we already said, contains a document library with that Excel spreadsheet. It contains an online form for change requests, and that's it. Nice and simple. So we had to make sure that that's the case. So what we'll do next is we actually show you the administration portal, and we show you how to create a minor project and how to navigate through that. Ryan, can you please wear your black hat? So that's the black hat guy.
Now, the reason for the hats is we have three roles and two of us, so we don't confuse you. We're going to wear hats, and hats are cool, okay? So what you're seeing here is the administration portal for minor projects. In here, you can manage and create minor projects and do the back-end configuration. So first thing is the service provider portals are created here. These are SharePoint portals for the service providers to use. We can also create the project manager portals. I'm not going to create any here because it's a 5-minute admin job, but it's just kind of like creating a new project. It's relatively boring. Over here, we create the minor projects. I will do that last. I'll come back to it. Now, we're dealing with spreadsheets here. We need to be able to map database fields to the spreadsheets. So this is just a little test. Whoa, too far. I'm not used to using a mouse. I got Mark's mouse.
It's true.
I use my finger on a touchpad. Okay. Now, what you're seeing
project
here.
Project manager.
What you are seeing here is the service provider's entry information in a row in the spreadsheet that you'll see. The project manager's entry. There's a total and actuals row. And you can see when or what field is mapped to what row. So this thing is fully configurable. Now, the reason I've shown you that is because I want to show you the periods. As Mark said, there are certain times of the month that the service provider can update their information. There are certain times of the month that the project manager can update their information. That is maintained in here. But who can update exactly what at on what day is what can be seen over here. These are just little test screens. So we're actually, this is today, so we're in the service provider phase. And that runs until this is American date format. You guys confuse
me.
We
did that for
like
you.
The 10th.
We didn't want to confuse Americans.
So on the 10th, which is next week, it switches into the Transpower project manager phase. That gives you just a little bit of a background, but let's actually create the minor project itself. So as I said, we already have a service provider portal, and we have a project manager portal prepared earlier. We're now going to create that link between the two. And I also have a partly prepared minor project because there is quite a bit to fill in. It has a name. You link it to the financial system. You link it to the asset management database. Over a 2-year period, you put budget plans in. And then the really operative piece is we select Transfield, in this case, as a major service provider, a New Zealand service provider. And we have a project manager portal called the North Island Lines Minor Works.
That's the project management portal.
That's the project management portal. You could name it after yourself and put all your minor projects in there, or you could name it after, say, a region that several project managers are responsible for. Now that I've created that, what you should do is wait overnight, and the computer will run, a job will run, and it will go and create all of the spreadsheets and put them into the portals. But I do realize it's the last session of the day, and I'm basically between you guys and dinner or drinks. So I'm going to take a shortcut, and I'm going to generate this. Now, this is not something that would be used too often, but in emergency cases, you can do that. So that's the project manager one, and that is the service provider one.
So minor projects are generally approved, and then we get that job, and an overnight run then updates that. But if we have a minor project that needs quickly updating of the spreadsheet, you can do that within a couple of seconds, actually.
So now we have created a... I shouldn't have switched. Yeah, okay.
That's all right.
We have created a minor project, so, and we have created those spreadsheets. So Mark, wearing his service provider hat, which should be a hard hat in real life, is going to pretend to be the service provider and update that spreadsheet.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. So I am the service provider, the guy who is used to to an Excel spreadsheet at the end of the day. So what I'll do is I navigate to my service provider portal, and I only have access to that portal when access to the portal that I have the rights to. Now, in this instance, it's a very simple project site, and what it contains is a document library and a change request. Now, you can see here we've just outlined whether the reporting period is open, what kind of reporting period it is, but ultimately what can happen here is the service provider clicks into that document library and can now go into the month of this Excel spreadsheet. Now, the reason why we have a monthly Excel spreadsheet is because the multitude of those minor projects, well, up to 4,000, can really be quite cumbersome to manage in one Excel spreadsheet. And since we move the information over to a database, it does make sense to close those Excel spreadsheet per month and reopen and open up or create a new one. Again, that happens fully automatically. Now, in that instance, this is actually the minor project that Ryan has created beforehand. So since that period is open, I can now say, hey, this is Alex is the project manager. Started work is a progress update. The awarded deliveries, and you can't obviously change that. If I try to change that, I get an error message. And then as build deliverables, so how many deliverables did I actually produce? And you can also add, of course, the time. Well, I'll do, oh, no, we aren't. Well, that's all right, yeah. That's okay, yeah. Sorry, we changed it to American ones. Design completed, yes or no. So essentially very rudimentary data of this minor project. Plus, of course, we have the ability to look at the total contract amount, and I have the ability to say, well, for this particular project, I used in July 3,000, and if this is a minor project that goes over a longer period of time, which of course it can, then they can literally fill in that type of information. What the service provider needs to do now is save that information, close the spreadsheet, and check it in. That's it. By the way, the Excel spreadsheet can, of course, be copied out locally when they're on the field. If they're not connected, they can fill in this Excel spreadsheet and then just simply check it in or load it back in once they have an internet connection. Well, really, that's it. That's all they need to do. At the same time, they have these contract variations or change requests. Again, this is nothing else but a very simple info path form that is consistent, by the way, with all of the change requests from a look and feel. We are actually using the Nintex workflow, which is I don't know whether you're familiar with that. If not, please go down to the booth. And if you are familiar with it and you have problems with it, Alex Burton sits down there. Please let him know. So I'm not going to go through the change request. That's not the reason why we're here, but I can fill that in, can send that, and my project manager can approve that. That's essentially all that the service provider needs to do. Okay, just very quickly. Six. Yeah. So as we've seen, It is very simple to maintain that information without any training. I'd like to stress that because we all know how difficult it is to actually gain that expertise in Project Server. And yes, fair enough, for the service provider, it doesn't feel like a Project Server. It feels like Excel. Blue Man Group. I was in Vegas too long. Okay. The administrator, on the other hand, can create a project management portal. The project management portal contains the document library with a new Excel spreadsheet, but it contains the information of the service provider. And, of course, this is a project site, which means a major project that is managed in Project Server looks exactly the same. It's just a different content of information. And now the project manager can create reports, not for the sake of it, but he can objectively decide what works well and what doesn't work well and can actually react very, very quickly. So what we'll do is we'll show you this project management portal. And what I do is I'm going to be the project manager, and I'm going to look at that consolidated report now. Let's have a look. Because the service provider updated the Excel spreadsheet under normal circumstances, it would be a nightly run for that to occur. So what I do very quickly as an administrator, just so that you can see that, my service provider just gave me a call and said, hey, I've updated the Excel spreadsheet, I've loaded it in, can you please check it? Administrator? I knew that. So what I'll do is I'm going to go to that transfield document library, and I'll say create that again. Oh, no, sorry. I'm going to go to the project management library and said create that Excel spreadsheet again. It creates it, and as you can see, it's going to take a couple of seconds. That's it. It's been created. So what I do is I'm going to go into my project management portal now. And this is my project management portal. I can see that, by the way, in the project center. I can see the list of all of the major and minor projects that I manage in the project center. It all is flowing into Project Server there. And what I'll do is I'm going to open up the project site. And what this project site does is it allows me to navigate to my project progress reporting. I'll get back to this one here. So this document library contains the Excel spreadsheet. This is the February Excel spreadsheet. And if I now open this up, I, as the project manager, have the ability to look at all of the service provider, all of the minor projects of many different service providers that I manage. And, of course, I should, if everything goes well. Of course it goes well. Thank you very much. And yes, it is. So what you can see here, for each individual minor project, there are four rows. The first row is the row of the service provider that maintained the information. Oh, sorry, the first row here. Yeah. Alex Burton. He's not a project manager. He's a really good Nintex guy, so please. Started the work, all of the information that essentially the service provider entered in here. The second row is the row that the project manager can maintain now. So I can say, well, apart from the $3,000, we had some internal cost. We believe we're going to get some internal cost worth $1,500 and next month $1,600 and maybe $3,000 on that particular one. And the third row, of course, shows you then the total of the total forecast cost for this minor project. At the same time, you will see that the last row is actually the actual cost that comes from the financial system. Overnight, we have a run that hooks the financial system into Project Server, into the database, so I can then over time see whether my forecast is actually accurate in comparison to my actuals, which is exactly what they need to do. So again, the project manager, all they need to do is save the data, check it in, get a comment if they want to, that's it. The project manager and the service provider have now updated their minor project. Now, as a project manager, I, of course, want to also see, a consolidated report. The report I had to do manually in Excel each month. It took days to do that. And here they now have finally the ability to not only look at individual projects, a minor project, but trends. So here right now I manage 5 different minor projects. My overall deliverable has been steady. My financial status has climbed, and my progress status has climbed as well. So these are information sets that come from a financial system with some graphs, and of course here is then a breakdown of each individual service provider with their minor projects that is going to be managed. And then at the end, all of the active, completed, and overall minor projects that have been conducted with this particular project manager. Great way to performance manage, but I don't think they like hearing that.
Yeah.
So literally what we've seen here is, I'm just going to go back. Thank you. Oh, no, that's 6, yeah, sorry. So what we've seen here is the creation of the project manager update with the consolidated report. Now, the next demo that we would like to show is actually now the project manager, the PMO. And, of course, because we collect that kind of data, we literally have the ability to create all of those dashboards. Dashboards are created through a combination, and I'll look at the technical realization in a second. So this is just a prime example where we collect all of the minor project information from all service providers that are hooked in. Of course, you have the ability to filter that information, and this is nothing else but utilizing, well, the technology that Project Server and SharePoint provides us with, really. Okay. Yep, that's it.
Change.
So here. All right. Looking at the time, yeah, okay. Technical realization. Well, what I want to show you here is how we actually did that technically. So we have our 3 portals, and as we know, the portals essentially are checked into the document library. On the check-in, we save the information through XML into the minor projects database. We keep every single transaction. That means if the vendor goes into the Excel spreadsheet, the service provider goes into the Excel spreadsheet on a Monday and types in $100 and comes back on a Tuesday and types in $200, we actually capture those. We keep them for about 90 days, and then we purge them, because by that time the minor project invoice has been sent and the forecast has been completed. Well, the same is with the project management portal. We capture that information and save it into the database. The administrator at the same time has the ability to amend the template. So if there's a legislative change and they need to enter an additional set of information, all they need to do is add a new column into the Excel spreadsheet, and then there is a list that maps that column to a database item. And that's really it. At the same time, we have to make sure that we import the financial information. FMIS stands for Financial Management Information System, and that's their financial system where we get those information items from. Ultimately, what that means for the PMO is that we have the ability to create reports with combining minor projects and project server and the project server information at the same time. So this is the status quo as it is. Hopefully, over the next couple of weeks, months, we have the ability to actually create a little bit more of a business intelligence capability with some cubes that will allow, of course, TransPower to look at trend analysis over time. How accurate am I with forecast? How well do certain service provider performs? And of course, they can then utilize that information to increase. Increase the estimation process and accuracy. Ryan, you were the project manager.
I was.
What do you need to consider when you roll something like that out?
Okay, so what we're going to have a quick look at is some of the projects over the whole, some of the lessons over the whole project. So not just the minor projects part, but the whole of tip of, took about 2 years to go full length of the upgrade plus minor projects. Now, we're going to go through things that we discovered along the way, things that we had to have a lot of discussion about to make sure these problems didn't occur. This is aimed at those of you who are not vendors in the room. So as I go through these, if you are on the client side and you are experiencing the negative end of this. Snap your vendor, come and talk to us, we'll sort you out. Okay. First thing is, don't big bang these things.
You have to move to Australia.
Yeah, that too, yes. But it's quite far to fly here. Don't big bang it, okay? Break it up into bite-sized chunks. Phase it. Hopefully you would build an IT system like that or anything like that. You know, if you're doing engineering work, you don't necessarily spend 10 years doing it. You roll this out region by region or phase by phase. You can do this for Project Server as well. Just because it's one application doesn't mean you've got to do the whole lot with every report you can think of and every workflow you can think of all in one go. Get the basics and layer the features up. It's an obvious one, but not everyone gets it. Start with the business requirements. Get people involved, talk it through, get it documented. It's kind of like the football, you know, what happened for one team last night, the goalposts kept moving, okay? If you don't really get the stuff nailed down and you start working, it's going to make your life a lot harder. Once you've got those requirements, Project Server is a configured application. You're going to have to do configuration. The configuration, yes, it puts a field there and maybe it changes the color and does all that type of thing. But in reality, that gets used further down the track in the harder things, such as the reports and the workflow. So the goalposts really will move if you don't lock your configuration down, especially in the Transpower case, we had to move from 2007 to 2010. They'd had 2007 for about 5 years. There were hundreds of projects, or project sites, a lot of documentation in there. This had to be migrated. So it was very important that we actually lock down what the target migration is going to be so we can automate the migration as it goes over. And where we did experience difficulty is any change, something has changed since you've locked it down, you've got to go and redo half of all that scripting to move it over. It drives the developers nuts and drives the client nuts because it takes time and money. Prototype things. Just because your clients had Project Server for 5 years doesn't mean that the new stuff you're describing to them is actually understandable. Even though it's a person who seems to know more about Project Server than you do when you first turn up, doesn't mean they get it all, okay? They don't, you know, they've got a day job. Their actual focus is somewhere else, even if they're administering Project Server. So show it to them, prototype it. Let them feel it and play with it. And if they're comfortable with it, move on to the next iteration.
We call it the aha effect when they see it.
Yeah. Yeah, now this is more the da-da-da type of effect. Who's an agile person here? Who really likes agile? Who uses agile?
You must work for IT, right?
Yeah, okay. Now I'm going to challenge you. There's agile and there's fragile and schmagile and various things like that, okay? If you do agile, do it properly. LSPs don't do it. So it sounds like a great idea. If you think agile just means, hey, we'll do some iterations and we can change requirements all the time, step away, okay? That's not agile. Do it properly. The U in UAT stands for user. Now, something with the testing is you have this whole system that you build. You get a room full of people, they're users. You stick them in there and you make them test absolutely everything. So suddenly they have to test what they do in their job. They test what the guy next to them does further down the process. They sing parts of the admin in the system. That confuses them. Don't do that. Make sure the testing is scenario-based just on what those individual users have to do, which may mean they spend 30 minutes in the room running through their tiny little piece of the process. That's all they wanted, okay? And they're not confused, and your change management is a whole lot easier. Who's a techie in the room? A couple of you, okay. You'll know what I'm saying here. If you're on the business side, try not to worry about if there's politics involved, if the techies, you're too scared to talk to them while you've got this like fledgling vision in your mind. Get these guys involved early. As soon as you start to think about solutions, you know, or think about you trying to do something, you've got an idea, if you get a techie involved, they can start guiding you through what's actually possible. And together as a team, you can actually work on this and start coming up with this. Or else, you've already committed to the business out there, you're going to get this, it's going to look like this, and everyone's happy, we'll just get the IT to sort the details out, and then surprise, surprise, it can't happen. So get them involved early. And then finally, that lock configuration feeds into reports. If you're taking pictures of this, chat to me afterwards, and I'll give you more details, and the slide deck is going to be available for everyone on my PC. Define those reports early. If you get the report figured out, it means you've actually done all the thinking. And, well, how am I going to configure this? What data do I need? You know, what sort of workflow stages am I going through? Who's using what? Who's doing what? All of that thinking has to be done to be able to define a report. So if you define the end, the reports, then you may build them last, but define them first. It means everything else in the system is going to be pretty much perfect. So as soon as you start defining the reports, the earlier you actually do it, the easier your life will be.
Well, the conclusion ultimately means that, you know, avoid unhappy customers through change management. That's the important part. Involve them early in the process. Only then will you be able to reach bliss through mapping the process to the technology and not the other way around. However, most importantly for TransPower, they need to keep the electricity flowing through, well, not Middle Earth, but New Zealand. That's it. Do you have any questions? Please. They are maintained in a separate database. The project server reporting database, we consciously did not extend that. We decided to have an extra database for the minor projects. However, the combination, because the minor project for the project manager remains in project server as a project, means that we actually have the ability to easily link those two. Through the project UID. So we know that a particular enterprise project is a minor project, and we know that this particular minor project belongs to a project manager, and through that we have the ability to combine that. We can then say, okay, this project manager not just manages that minor project, it manages the combination of those major and minor projects. And of course, TransPower from a holistic point of view has the ability to say, well, this is how much we've spent on major projects, this is how much we spend on minor projects.
So the project has top-level information only in project? I mean, what actually shows in Project Center? Is that
it's a one-liner. Yeah, it's a one-liner, that's it. Because it's a multitude of projects, of minor projects, so what we don't have to do in that instance is really one minor project would, in a schedule, be one task. However, the service provider is responsible for that minor project and the delivery of that minor project, so that obviously has been agreed once the minor project was approved. And therefore, TransPower does not need to manage that. They just need to receive the information. They need to know, is it done, or are all of the deliverables done, and how much did it cost us? And that's essentially what the Excel spreadsheet does.
So from a user's point of view, if you're a project manager, you have your list of projects in Project Center, you are seeing major projects, various types, and a minor project for you, a project with all your minor projects in it. You go into that, you see a project site, and that's where you find the spreadsheet with all your minor projects. So the minor projects aren't actually in Project Server, but the portal is.
The consolidated view is in Project Server.
One for each project type.
Exactly. Yeah. Spot on. Yeah. Yep. Yes, please.
So when you present the SharePoint site for the vendors,
correct.
Mm-hmm.
No, it isn't, because the project server side contains more information, and we wanted to ensure that the service provider intuitively just simply opens that side. Some of them are just completely blank. They just have two links. One says change request, and one says Excel spreadsheet or document library, and that's it. We did that consciously, and look, it's not, you know, the most visually pleasing solution, but it's a very practical solution, and that was the main aim here, to ensure that when a new service provider comes on board, that we actually have the ability to just simply give them access to that without needing to training them. They have a one-page quick reference guide, and that's it. Yep. Yes, please. External services. So
yeah.
These are not TransPower specific staff. These are external service provider. They run their own company. They have a contract between TransPower and them. So TransPower provides the power to the transformers, and then and builds those major infrastructures, and the external service provider maintains those. It's the actual external side. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm. When did we start?
This was started in April. There were two starts. So we started in January 2013, came up with a prototype. We then, in April, got together again, looked at the lessons from that prototype, and then from that, locked down requirements, and then built until we'll go live was in October.
How many folks involved
in this? So project manager, there's a lead developer, there's a report developer. On the client side, there were essentially people from the maintenance department. There were several managers involved there. So probably a team in total of about eight between the two of us.
Yeah. But on and off, obviously.
Yeah, on and off, yeah.
Was this solution built using out-of-the-box coding or was extensive programming?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, the question was what is out of the box? So obviously the project sites and the external sites, even the change request is a configuration. There is not a lot of development in there. What had to be developed was obviously the Excel, the capability of reading the Excel spreadsheet and moving that into the database. We actually utilized OpenXML to do exactly that. And look, I'm not a developer. I would call it rocket science. My developer laughs about it and says, no, it's not rocket science. So it's not complicated. You just need to make sure that you understand the mapping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the reports had to be developed, the reporting services reports. You can either do that in-house or external. And the dashboard was literally an Excel spreadsheet utilizing Excel services. Yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah. Even though we did have that beforehand because the integration, we utilized the integration component that was already done for the major project. So it was literally just an amendment of that and moving it in. Because we had those unique IDs of these minor project, we just simply mapped them to it. Yeah. Yes, please. That's right. Yeah. So the reason that was our initial thought, not just in 2013, but my initial thought was when the guys came back with Excel and said, this sounds so 90s. Don't do that. You know, synchronization and now this is a pain in the ears. And we had to make sure that the service provider does not get trained, and in some cases the service provider doesn't have internet access. So the main reason why we decided to do that is it is so flexible that you just simply download your Excel spreadsheet, you can be anywhere, and as soon as you then go back into your office, you synchronize it and that's it.
Yeah. You also don't have to put the volume of minor projects. You're looking at 4,000 a year. It adds up to a lot of tasks. You can keep that stuff separate.
Yeah, so if you would maintain that in the schedule, there will come the time where you would have to close that schedule and reopen a new one, maybe on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. But again, it would literally mean that you need to have internet access and you need to train those people. Those people know how to maintain an Excel spreadsheet. Everyone knows that. It's very intuitive. That was the main focus. No training, intuitivity, so that there is no, negative pain for the service provider. For them, it's an administrative overhead, and of course, for Transpower, it's a very important set of data. Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
How do they manage those minor projects at the service provider level from a historical perspective? Years later, you want to go back and say, you didn't do his job right, or they
So in the past, they had the Excel spreadsheet, and really they didn't have the ability to go that much back in time. Fair enough, minor projects, as the name suggests. It doesn't mean that minor projects are short projects. They can actually be quite long projects. They're just minor. But in the past, they really didn't have that capability and visibility. Because we capture that information now in a database, and that's why I was mentioning we are hoping that we can actually do this cube for the trending so that you can actually monitor performance of those minor projects over many years. Yeah, But in the past, there was no visibility. Unless you kept the Excel spreadsheet and manually consolidated that in some form, there was no way to do that.
It also works as monthly periods. So there is a they have an agreement with the service provider. The service provider has 10 days in the month to actually get everything up to date. If they don't, the project manager, they're each looking at a spreadsheet, same data. They can see if it's come through. And then it's pick up the phone, you know, chat to them, chase them up. And if they've made a mistake, that period can be unlocked again. And you can, the project manager can either change it themselves or they can unlock the period and get the service provider to do it. If the project manager does change it themselves, because say you the service provider, you phone me up or send me an email, say, look, I've made a mistake with my forecast. Can you please just change this for me? I'm out. I'm up a tower somewhere. I can't get onto a computer. Project manager can change it. But everything is there's audit trail for everything. Every transaction is recorded away. So if in a month's time you phone up again and said, hey, why did you change my data? You know, I didn't tell you to do that. Say, no, we've actually got the audit trail of all of this.
However, we do purchase after 90 days that kind of data. Yeah. Not the deltas we purchase. We obviously don't purchase the actual data.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, please. That's a great question. To be honest, we haven't considered that. We haven't thought about putting it into the cloud. However, if I would have to put it into the cloud, we would probably utilize an Azure-based infrastructure to do that. And it would probably, from an access point of view for external service provider, be more appealing to have that in the cloud. However, at that point in time, the size of this utility organization, Transpower, still means that they have their own internal infrastructure. Good question. Maybe, you know, if you are interested, maybe we'll start a prototype. Yes, please.
How many different templates do they
have? Two. Now, you can have as many as you like, I want to make that clear, but right now there's only one service provider and one type of project manager. Consistency is holy, and we needed to make sure that we don't provide 50,000 different Excel spreadsheets. You can literally change the template. Why don't you just quickly show that? You can literally change the Excel spreadsheet column as a template, and because each night technically we actually recreate this Excel spreadsheet, it will then come up with that new template. Yeah. So what you need to do is you need to obviously communicate to the service provider, hey, there is a new compliance. We require you to fill in that data, and that's how it is. And it literally goes, under configure templates. As you can see, there are two templates. That is, I can open them up. There are two tabs in there. One is a data tab. One is a template tab. I add a new column. I map that new column to a database item, which is a list link user interface, and that's it. And from then on, the next night, every service provider has that new template with that new column. So therefore, there's no need for lots of templates. Yeah. Yes, please.
Where does the minor project database reside?
In the same SQL Server database environment than Project Server. And look, the discussion was, do we want to extend the Project Server database? But we are not the biggest fan of doing that. It's always better keeping it a little bit isolated. Are there any other questions? Well, look, I hope that you enjoyed that. I hope it was worth your time. And if you have any question, please don't hesitate to ping us. Thank you very much. I know it's late. And we're even 10 minutes early. We're good project managers. We plan well.
Thank you.
Cheers.